Saturday morning, we're off and running. The Krug Show meets the John Chapman 49er Pod Rush podcast experience. We got a lot to get to. Johnny's in the house. It's a Saturday. The sun is shining. The draft is around the corner. Let's go. Off and running on the Krug Show on a beautiful Saturday here in Northern California, brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all California is Pig and a Pickle. They're in Emeryville, they're in Corte Madera, and I just got a note yesterday, they are very soon to open in Petaluma. We'll have that date for you in just a matter of days at this point. Check out Pig and a Pickle, two locations, a third on the way, I should say. Get the brisket, but it's all great. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. Thank them for being big-time sponsors of the Krug Show. I'm in their new ad campaign. I'm really excited about that. So thank you, Pig and a Pickle, for being such loyal sponsors of the Krug Show. Also, thank you to Prize Picks, our brand newest sponsor. The Krug Show is presented by Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks is super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats or even game outcomes. You build your lineup. It's available in most states, including California. If you haven't checked it out yet, use code HMA. And when you play $5, you're going to get $50 in lineups instantly. We will do a lineup this morning. But before we get to any of that, and of course, we'll tell you about our other sponsors in a bit. Before we get to any of that, let's welcome to the proceedings the great John Chapman.
What's up, Larry? Glad to be here, man. It's draft week.
It's draft a little crazy. Week, or some people would say the precursor to your trip to Down Under. Why don't you tell people about it?
Yeah, we're going to be traveling alongside the 49ers all the way down to Australia week one against the Rams. And so we have put together a travel package with flights included, nonstop, SFO, all the way to Melbourne. We've got hotel stays, we're staying at the Grand Central Hyatt, wine tasting. We're going to the Refuge. We've got game tickets included. So if you miss the game tickets, they're already sold out. We have them. Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. You can sign up right now today, put your deposit in, fully refundable, and all those details are hammered out, the itinerary, everything. Go check it out, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Open to everybody, family-friendly, every event we ever do. But yeah, man, I'm so excited about that Australia trip. It's going to be a good one.
Dude, we are fired up as well. You know, of course, we titled this stream today. Now, you know, here we go, guys. I mean, I'll just be full disclosure on this, and Johnny knows. I mean, if you're like us and you do daily content on the Niners, you know, you're fighting these different things, right? On one hand, you don't want to do the same video and the same stream day after day after day after day, telling you guys that I like the same seven prospects day after day after day after day. So we're trying to mix it up a little bit. And yet we like, and John's authentic, I'm authentic. So we're not going to pretend that we like people we don't like. But at the same time, we're going to mix it up a little bit and try to hit some different angles on this thing and try to bring you some entertaining content and bring you closer to the Niner draft coverage as we inch closer to Thursday night. By the way, Thursday night, if you do get a chance, check me out on the radio with filling in for Greg Papa, sitting in with Todd Husek and John Dickinson. We'll be at the Niner War across the hall from the Niner War Room in the Niner Conference Room. We'll talk to Shanahan. We'll talk to Lynch. We'll talk to their number one pick. If there is one, you know, they may trade out of that altogether. And it's funny. It's like, I'm kind of rooting for that. I'm going to be there, but I'm kind of rooting for the Niners to get to 27 and do what I want to see them do in a football sense. But Johnny, in a radio sense, I'm like going to be sitting there from 5 to 8 or whatever, you know, handicapping the draft. And we would love an exciting trade up or multiple number ones or, you know, something that's really awesome and fun. But you know what? That's the entertainer side of me and the radio man side of me, the football guy in me, the Niner fan in me. Absolutely. Number one choice would be to trade back anywhere between 3 to 15 spots, let's say, in that window. You're at 27. Let's say, you know, somewhere between 27 and 42, something like that. If I could get in that window right there, maybe get an extra third, fifth, seventh, something like that, maybe a player to do so, I think that would be my first priority. So even though I'm going to be there and I'm going to be covering it, I'm rooting for a dud of duds where the Niners pick nobody and they just say, hey, you know what? We're deferring to Friday. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember the Trey Lance trade. That was amazing for content and, you know, everything. And I was a Trey Lance guy. I like Trey Lance.
I was too.
12. I and, you know, the three trade up gave up way too much, whatever. Obviously, it didn't work out. But from a content perspective, that was incredible.
Yes.
Sometimes boring, middle of the fairway, Tony Gwynn's in the Hall of Fame approach is not a bad approach whenever it comes to football. And if you get a player that contributes for 4 to 5 years in that first round, albeit we'll discuss the ramifications of salary cap and, you know, what the premium positions are in the NFL. We're going to talk about that today. But if you get a player that contributes, and that seems to be the MO of the 49ers the last two draft classes, where you walk away with 3 to 5 guys that are just contributors. Are they home runs? Not really. I don't think you've really hit a home run. Maybe you could talk Dominic Pooney if he takes that next step. Maybe Upton Stout, but have you seen enough? It's just a lot of contributors up and down your roster. I mean, if you look at the last two drafts, you've walked away with 8 kind of successful players, but none of them are really home runs. So, yeah, this content, you know, obviously you want the huge trade up and boom, 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 breaking news, but from a football perspective, that's not really what usually gets the job done.
Great. What the Niners' number one need is a great player, in my opinion. More so than they need this. They got to have a free safety. They got to have a – they had to have a defensive lineman in 2017, and they drafted Solomon Thomas. When you draft for need, you reach and you start pushing guys into spots that they don't belong in. Go best player available. I saw Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni's pre-draft presser the other day with the Philly media, and there's so much banging on each other. It's pretty funny. But one of the things Howie said is we always go best player available. And
yeah,
I like that approach.
Niners don't do that.
No, the Niners don't just have an idea. They have like we don't just want an edge rusher. We want an edge rusher who can set the edge against the run on first and second down and flex inside on third. That's a very it's almost like they decide who they like and then craft their need around the player's traits that they're drafting, that they fall in love with. That's how it plays to me. I'm not accusing them of that. That's how it appears. I'm going to share the screen and we discussed what do we want to talk about here? And we titled the stream 49er Draft Clue, why money could force either a wide receiver or an edge into that first round pick. And you sent me this today and I just printed it out and I wanted to share it with everybody. So if you're watching this, you see this little printout on the screen here. This is the top average annual value of the top wage earner at each position in the NFL. So the top wage earner in AAV at quarterback is Prescott at $60 million. Ugh, how ugly is that? But as you can see, the difference between quarterback and fullback is like the difference between being a doctor and being working at CVS. I mean, it's like, what? What are you talking about? $60 million for the quarterback, $3.8 million for the fullback? So we think of football players as just universal, but look at the guys who are getting paid. Quarterbacks are getting paid. The wide receivers, JSN makes $42.1 million. Wow. The edge rushers, Will Anderson's making a $50 million burger this year. Wow, that's big. Compared that to safety, that's half. Half, safety's half, $25.1 million. Corner, $31 million. So, John, you look at this and lay this out because – you know, the Niners are within, okay, so there's this information, and then it's noted. And then within knowing this, we also know that some of these, you know, the Niners have interest in maybe a running back, maybe a wide receiver, maybe a tight end, maybe some O-lineman, maybe some D-lineman, maybe an edge rusher, maybe a corner, maybe a safety, maybe a linebacker. What does, when you see edges making $50 million and you're seeing receivers making $42 million, does that, in your mind, make you more eager to draft a receiver or an edge rusher early?
100%. And a lot of it has to do with where your team is constructed. If this was 2017 and you're building a roster, that's a different thing. But whenever you have so many, I mean, the 49ers have two names on this list, and, you know, George Kittle and Fred Warner. It doesn't mention, you know, Brock Purdy, one of the top paid, Christian McCaffrey, one of the top paid, Nick Bosa, one of the top paid, Trent Williams. You are up against it. And what did the 49ers say about both Kirk and Evans? Whenever they signed their deals and they had their press conferences, they said the same thing. They both could have gotten more money elsewhere, but they chose to come here because of what we have to offer. The 49ers are in this kind of money-saving venture. And last year's, we're not too far removed from that, Larry, where it was younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper. You didn't sign one starter in free agency last offseason. This year, you've added five, but a lot of them are value deals. Look at Dre Greenlaw. Took way less to come here than what his previous deal was. Tried to reestablish. Evans, Kirk, you can go on at Osa. You got in a trade, and the Cowboys took a big chunk of that cap. So if you draft in the first round, like I saw this tweet, and I forget who to attribute it to. Jeremiah Love's going to go in the top six, and rightfully so. He's going to be the top paid running back per year the moment he is signed. Is Jeremiah Love already better than Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey, all those guys without taking one single snap? Now, if you're a building roster and you're picking in the top six, you can get by with that. But for the 49ers who are up against the cap almost every single year, and I know they carry a lot of money over and all that kind of stuff too, it just gives you so much flexibility. And so edge and wide receiver, I think there are three premium positions in the NFL today, Larry. Quarterback, edge, and wide receiver. And, yeah, there's some second-tier ones if you want to get into offensive tackle and corner and defensive tackle, but those three positions have skyrocketed the past three offseasons. Quarterback, wide receiver, and edge. And guess what? The 49ers could really use help at two of those positions.
Let's talk about another angle on this thing that I just thought of. So if it's wrong, let me know. But look what tight ends make. And look at the comment on the bottom of the screen. And Rand Carthon did a video yesterday, did an interview, I should say, the former Niner exec. He says the Niners are going to take Kenyon Sadiq. Now, I don't even know if Sadiq's going to get to the Niners. And in the rankings I'm looking at, he's going in the middle of the first round. But what do you think of that as an idea? Take Kenyon Sadiq out of it. Let's just pretend there was five, let's just say this was an all-time awesome draft for tight ends, and there was all kinds of dudes. Do you look at the money that tight ends are making, compare that to the money that receivers are making, and say, hey, you know what? Go get yourself a bunch of tight ends who can catch and go with 12 personnel, go with 13 personnel, copy McVay. The other thing that's kind of interesting is that, you know, to your point, Johnny, the Rams, I just saw a mock last night with somebody that I really think knows their stuff. And he had Mekhi Lemon going to the Rams in the first round. And the Rams may be looking at this going, you know what? Yes, we got Devonta. Yes, we got Puka Nacua. But look what receivers make. We need to keep drafting these guys. They impact the game greatly, and they make way too much in free agency to pay for. They're too valuable to trade for. Heck, are the Niners going to find somebody who was willing to trade for broken Brandon Ayuk? I mean, that would be the ultimate proof that receivers are in just ridiculous demand if somebody who actually wants him after his whole body's broken down. So what do you think of that? I mean, either the approach of the Rams of drafting receivers because you can't afford to buy them or trade for them, or do you like the idea of kind of what the Rams have done away from the receiver position, which is just load up on tight ends? And if you noticed, I mean, we could go to the Rams depth chart here. The Rams don't have Luke Farrell. You know, they don't. They don't have a tight end on the roster who's there who just can't do anything. They have Colby Parkinson. He can catch and block. Terrence Ferguson, very good receiver. Tyler Higbee, very good receiver. Davis Allen, the former Clemson player, really a good two-way player. You know, he's not just a blocker or just a receiver. He's kind of in between. So they got four tight ends that are of note, by the way, and they're all kind of two-way players where the Niners have Tonjes, who's a receiver, not a blocker. They have Willis, who's not really a blocker at all. You've got Luke Farrell, who's just absolutely not a receiver. The only full-time tight end they really got is George.
You know, one of my favorite things about the Shanahan McVay, because they came up together, right? McVay was under Shanahan for a time. They're friends. They share all these things. Whenever McVay got his job as the Rams head coach, and this was, I think it was Jordan Rodriguez, the play caller. She highlighted this. She did a whole series on it. It's incredible. If you haven't listened, it's a 3-part
series.
From
The Athletic. She covers the Rams.
Amazing. Yep. But she talked about, you know, with McVay, his first training camp, he was doing the 21 and 12 personnel with the Rams. And he kept looking over the sideline. He's like, man, I got this rookie who's my favorite draft pick who I can't get on the field because we don't use 3 wide receiver sets. It was Cooper Kupp. And so he had to adjust kind of what he did with the Shanahan scheme and adapt it to fit his personnel. Now, this is probably one of the biggest differences between McVay and Shanahan. And the one area I would give McVay the upper hand, several areas I'd give McVay the upper hand, but both are phenomenal, is McVay adapts to his personnel. That 13 personnel buzz that's going through the NFL right now, that's McVay. He started that biz. He's got 4 athletic tight ends that can do everything. Shanahan believes in his system and will not deviate. He won't. And that's a negative in a sense, but Shanahan believes that the answer is built into the play call already. And so if they over-pursue to the outside run, well, then the cutback to the A-gap is there. The counter is available. All those things. If they're going to play this cloud coverage, guess what? We have the options to break off underneath. That is there. We can run the ball more effectively. And he's not wrong. I mean, if last year was a testament to anything, how well they did with all those injured parts last year. But they're just different. Shanahan is much more adaptive, McVay is much more adaptive, creative to what he has, whereas – man, there's a dogmatic approach to Kyle Shanahan. The system works. I'm going to do what I do. I want a blocking tight end. I want a move tight end. And I want a tight end that can do both. And that's the thing. You never saw Jake Tonjes on the field with Kittle, ever. You never saw it.
Never.
And the regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for 2 to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least 1 live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You'd have Tonjes come off a 6 catch, 100 yards and a touchdown, and then get 6 snaps next week because Kittle is back healthy. Like, it's just a different approach. And so that's why the Kenyon Sadiq thing doesn't make sense to me. Rand Carthon is a stud beast. I love that man. Anytime he talks, you should listen. But I'm just like, can Kyle Shanahan adapt and use Kenyon Sadiq and George Kittle at the same time? I don't know. And then you look at the money. I would not spend a first-round pick on a tight end unless they could fill both roles for the 49ers. And I'm not sure Kenyon Sadiq, being so undersized, could be that extra blocker as well.
It's a great point. You make a lot of great points.
I'm going to tell my wife you said that, by the way.
Don't get a big head. Shitty point, Chapman. Ridiculous. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, why we've even doing this stream. All right, Caleb Lomu is probably the guy who's most heavily mocked to the Niners, and I put him on the board here because I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan. He's a left tackle. Some of the reports think he's better than Finneau. Others say that he's a little underpowered, and I don't know. I just, after McGlinchey, who was also kind of a little underpowered, didn't really blow anybody out of the hole, kind of more of a finesse guy, but all ultimately basically became a pretty good run blocker, but didn't have enough quickness to really kick outside. Is this guy both? I don't know. I mean, is he effective? Or is he, you know, it's just not my favorite. I'm not my favorite player. I'm not saying that he's a bust. I'm not saying that I know more than the Niners if they pick him or anything like that. I'm not. I'm just saying that he's not my favorite player. I'd rather go with Ionature. I'd rather go with Caden Proctor. I'd rather go with Alex with Barber in the fourth round out of Florida. I'd rather them, you know, use some. Here's my big concern with the Caleb Lomu is that he's a 6'6" long-legged tackle. He's already got two big knee braces on there to protect his knees. You're going to put that guy inside where guys can fall into those knees? What if he blows out a knee playing guard inside before he ever plays a down at the desired position that you have him there at left tackle? So I don't love the idea of an offensive tackle. I really don't. Even in the first round, what anybody where they're at. I don't like the idea of an offensive tackle. Now, if you want to tell me you want to go for Chase Bisantis or Keelan Rutledge and you don't even want to trade down, you want to take him at 27, a lot of people would say, no, come on, there's no value in the guard. But to me, when you look at players, there's a lot of players who are going to be out of the league in 3 years. So don't worry about positions. Worry about who's a good player. We're now beyond the position worry. Now it's about finding the best players. Chase Bisantis, I mean, did the Colts make a mistake when they took Quentin Nelson in the first round? I mean, was that a mistake? Did the Niners, I mean, what's a better pick? The Niners picking a Pooney in the third round? I mean, some of the guys, or Aaron Banks in the second round, you know, or, that's, you know, it's a,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's ultimately, you got to get the right guys. And it's like there's a failure rate to these prospects. They fail for any number of reasons. Sometimes guys aren't in love with football. Sometimes their body fails them. Sometimes they play 1 or 2 years. They get a concussion. They get scared. They retire. There's all kinds of reasons that guys don't make it in the NFL. And the draft is about identifying false favorites and figuring out of this group of false favorites, who is legit and who's not. And it all clarifies itself in a 3-year window. Go back and look at the draft 3 years ago and you'll be like, oh yeah. Yeah. This guy was way better than that guy. Of course. But it wasn't as obvious on draft day, was it? And this is the same thing every year. So, you know, and then once again, somebody's making these lists. They're people. They don't know everything. They know something. Maybe they know more. Maybe they don't. Time will tell. But more than anything, it's like all scouts, they'll hit some, they'll miss some. It's so the same scout. I mean, Bill Walsh is the same guy that traded up for Jerry Rice. And he's also the same guy that a couple years later took Keith DeLong in the first round. And he's the same guy that had Tom Brady in Santa Clara at the local pro day and opted to draft Gio Carmazzi, who threw the ball like a shot putter, who literally pushed the ball like this. And Bill Walsh had them both there at the local pro day and chose Carmazzi over the greatest quarterback of all time. So don't tell me about it's not a science. You know, it is not a science. It's more art than science. The philosophies that lead you to greatness are the same philosophies that could lead you to busts. So you can't be tied to philosophies. You just got to have an eye for it. I did see something great last night. I was watching a thing on the draft, and it was like Caught in the Draft. It was from the 84 draft, which was, I guess, Mel Kiper's first draft. And you have Bobby Bethard saying, Mel Kiper's not a talent evaluator. He's an information gatherer. Ooh. And I thought to myself, you know what? He's right. He's really right. That's what Mel's not a trained personnel evaluator in the truest sense of the word. He hasn't been the director of college scouting and a road scout, a regional scout and all this. No, he's a TV guy who's great at collecting data. I'm not trying to discredit Mel. I love Mel. Mel created this whole industry. I'm just saying that Bobby Bethard was right, you know, and just remember that a lot of the people presenting you the information, they're not talent evaluators. They're just gathering information and kind of retweeting and that kind of thing. So I'm not trying to discredit anybody or make myself sound better. I'm not.
It didn't come across that way.
Yeah, and I don't think I know everything. I'll say this. I used to roll that film back and forth and make my eyes, you know, change my contact lens prescription 3 times in one season and, you know, that kind of thing. And I know what it means to make yourself crazy and to actually know every player in the draft. And this, by the way, is the Beast, which was sent to me by Dane Brugler. Look at this thing. This is 600 pages. I mean, there nobody knows everything. Okay.
Nobody.
And there's a lot to read and there's a lot to gain. So, Johnny, before we'd love for you guys to line up in the chat with some of your questions and some of your comments. Who do you want to see the Niners take at 27 and 58? Put it in the chat. If you have questions that you want to throw to John or I, we're going to devote the last 20 minutes of the stream to this as well. But Johnny, I want to go quickly and just go through and just ask you at the position of need, positions of need. Give me just one guy, guard or tackle, maybe one of each. Do you have a guard or a tackle that you like in this draft? It doesn't have to be in the first round, any round or in no round.
Yeah, if I wanted to just go guard or tackle, and I am going to cheat here just a little bit, I'm going to go with your Texas A&M University, but not the guy that, you know, Chase Besantis that everybody keeps talking about. I love Trey Zun III. I absolutely love this guy. Now, yeah. Here's what's funny. He played left tackle. I think he's highest graded at center, but could play guard as well. 6'6", 312, weird build. But whenever I watch this guy, which is hard to do because, you know, he's playing left tackle and the A&M offense is a mess, even though there's talent everywhere. My thing about him is just you see the elite run blocking that can transfer. That's easy to measure from left tackle to center or inside. But also just the pass pro is there. The anchor is there. And so he doesn't have the elite side-to-side movement. He can redirect fine, but on left tackle, he's just out there in space. Like, I would love if I could say, like, if somebody's like, John, you get a pick, like kind of one pick and slot this player somewhere. I'd say, man, if you can get Trey Zun in the fourth round, that would be an absolute home run pick. He would compete for the left guard spot. I doubt he wins it early, but he is the heir apparent at center for whenever number 64 rides off into the sunset, whenever that will be. But he could play all three interior spots. He's basically what you were always hoping Nick Sakel would be. I'm a big Trey Zun fan. I think that's a value pick that you can get in the fourth round.
I like it. You know, the only downside that, you know, of Zun, as far as I am concerned with the Niners, is just that, you know, Brock Purdy's, you know, 6'1 and change, and this is a 6'6" and change center. So that's a tall center, but I love him. And it's funny, a buddy of mine who scouts in Texas and has College Station. He would call me a couple weeks ago, and he's like, Krug, man, you got to look at Trey Zun III. He's like, that good old boy's got a football face for days. And I called him back. I said, what's a football face, bro? But it was, you know, and I looked at this guy, you know, we can show the face, I guess. We might as well show it since I mentioned it. But yeah, my scouting buddy said Trey Zun has a football face.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, what's a football face, man? There it is. There's a football face, I guess, to my buddy. He looks kind of angry.
He wants to mash people. That's all he wants to do, man.
Yeah. He's from Fort Collins, Colorado, but he didn't go to Colorado State. Four star guy. And if you play left tackle in the SEC, guess what? You know,
he has the most experience of any left tackle in this draft class. Like that's the thing. So whenever I'm looking at Niners fits, if you're a tight end or an old lineman and you haven't played a lot, I don't think the Niners are interested in you. Really, like, you look at Aaron Banks, you look at Pooney, you look at Burford, you look at, you can go, Justin School. You got to play. You got to have a lot of snaps if they're going to draft you. And that's one of my problems with Lomu. You brought up Caleb Lomu.
What do you think?
He ain't played a lot, and he's 24. And, man, those clips you played, here's my thing whenever I watch Caleb Lomu. They sure as hell chip a lot to his side for being an elite left tackle in college in the Big 12. Like, he has a chip or a tight end or a fullback to his side 90% of the time. So, like, grading his tape, he's a pass pro stud, but you don't ever get to see him out on an island. It just doesn't happen. So, like, why is it that they're always chipping? Is that just the offensive scheme? But it's like, man, if this dude is a first-round left tackle in the Big 12, he should be able to handle some pass rushers one-on-one, and they never do it. And so he's 24, no experience, pass pro stud. I like it. The fit is there. The athleticism, the movement's there. He's not strong enough yet. 24 years old, you're going to draft a 25-year-old rookie and hope he gets stronger and develop. I'm not out on the Lomu trade, but I got a lot of questions.
It's not my favorite guy. Let's just say that. He's not my favorite guy. I'm not going to sit here. Oh, he's going to be a bust. I mean, he might be Harris Barton, but I think he's going to be more effective than anything. How about wide receiver? A lot of talk about going wide receiver in the first round, and the money there shows that, you know, there's some motivation because you can't afford to buy these guys, and you really can't afford to trade for them, so you probably got to draft them. The Niners have lost a lot of good wide receivers. A lot of people think they're going wide receiver. Who's your guy? Who do you like?
I'm a big Denzel Boston guy.
You are.
I am. I really, really am. I love the way. So, like, okay, again, back to this experience idea. The Shanahan wide receiver room is notorious for rookies don't play. You've got to be able to run this advanced, consistent route tree and know what to do. I think Denzel Boston has the most extensive kind of route tree developed already with what they did at Washington, besides probably Ohio State. And a lot of the guys that are kind of around, you know, whether that's, you know, Casey Conception, Chris Brazel, Jordan Tyson, like those guys, it's a very simple route tree that they were asked to run. What you have with Denzel Boston, this dude's running deep digs. He's running option routes already, you know, getting to 17, climbing, you know, coming back to 14. And so I really like this player. I like the fit. Mike Evans is elite at what he does. Denzel Boston is a Mike Evans type. He's not Mike Evans. He's nowhere near the speed, which is what separates Mike Evans and being a Hall of Famer, but they play similarly. Very physical, attacks the ball all the time. He is a culture tone setter. This dude will pancake corners and smack his helmet with two hands like a freaking it's like Dre Greenlaw was a wide receiver. That's the way he plays. But he is slow. Now he doesn't win with speed, and he can still stack corners, just not at an elite level. I think Denzel Boston could fall. I'm a big Boston fan because I think he could play big slot and then could kick to X very, very easily. So I see the versatility there, but I'm actually a big, I have a first round grade on him. I only have 16 first round grades in this class. I really like Boston. I think that he fits what the 49ers do.
A lot of people like him. I don't want to draft any guys anymore who don't run because they don't run for a reason. He didn't run the 40 because he can't run.
Yeah, he's not fast.
And when I watched him against the one-on-one tape I put out there the other day with Pons just totally was right in his hip pocket.
That's Pons' best game, yeah.
I mean, my only thing with Boston is I don't see any separation, and that concerns me with a quarterback that doesn't have a gigantic arm. And you can create a lot of space with great arm strength, but you can also create a lot of strength with great foot speed. But if you don't have great foot speed and you don't have great arm strength, there's a lot of contested balls there. There's a lot of 50-50 balls. There's a lot of potential picks. That's not my guy. I can't go with Boston, even though I like his film and I like his stats. To me, there's, why do you need him if you have Mike Evans? I mean, I need somebody who compliments Mike Evans. And to me, Chris Bell is the guy who compliments Mike Evans.
He's wonderful.
Much more of a run through the defense kind of a guy. Now, a lot of people are going to roll their eyes if the Niners draft him in the first round because he tore his ACL and there'll be some timetables on his return. And, you know, I don't know that the Niners want to take him in the first round. I would say they don't want to take him in the first round. I would say Chris Bell is only an option really on the trade back. What do you think of the Matt Barrows report that the Niners had a Topgolf event and they only invited Casey Concepcion and Caleb Lomu? Did you see that?
Yeah, they want to see how the personality. They've done this, I think, 3 years now where they get a bunch of different, you know, people together and whatever else. and just want to see how they act around each other, what their personalities are. Is this alpha, male, whatever? I don't think KC's going to be there. I think he goes earlier.
Really?
Today's NFL is designed for KC. And I like my thing with KC Concepcion is it's a very high ceiling and it's kind of a low floor. And the fact that, man, this guy can get separation. He could do the yak. He could do the gadget. He can do all that. But again, like, you're an A&M guy. That is a high school offense. Like he gets separation on the routes he's asked to run, but man, 60% of his targets are at the line of scrimmage. So, like, I like him. There's just question. The hands, obviously, that's got to be fixed. He's a clapper whenever he catches over the middle. But, man, you watch his gauntlet drill, and you've heard the Niners talk about, oh, we really like his gauntlet drill. They've said that multiple times about wide receivers they got. He had the best one in the draft. So, but the fit is there. It's just the questions. Like, I struggle with KC Concepcion getting to the route tree basics for the 49ers offense early. That's a question that I don't have with Denzel Boston, but the ceiling for KC Concepcion is off the charts. And he does complement Mike Evans much better than Denzel Boston. Long-term, can he ever play X wide receiver? I don't know. He gets the separation. We'll see. But he's never been asked to do it. And so that's a question for me. I value outside wide receiver way more than I do inside gadget guys personally.
One of the things that's interesting about this whole draft class, I think, is I've done so many mock drafts. I just feel like there's way more depth of offensive players than defensive players. I think there's a deep group of offensive wide receivers. I think there's I think you might be able to get some good tight ends in the seventh round after the draft. You're going to be able to find some running backs after the draft. You're not finding any defensive ends for the most part, or you made defensive tackle, I think, is kind of an oddly deep group. I like the day three guys, but I think a lot of the athletes on defense are day one, day two, day three guys, and that there's way more offensive guys that you can find as steals on day three. Like this receiver group. I mean, I love Carnell Tate and Mekhi Lemon. I think those guys are in a totally different class. Tyson, very concerned about him. Cooper, love him, but think he's kind of limited. Concepcion, I think he's kind of a, kind of a tease. I mean, I don't like receivers that don't have good ball skills or big catch radiuses. Boston's got good ball skills and a good catch radius. He just doesn't separate. So I don't love the top five or six receivers.
That's this whole draft too. Every position, I do the same thing, Larry, where it's just that's this draft. And at 27, that's what you're getting.
Totally. Beauty in the eye of beholder type thing. But like, I like that next group. I'd much rather take a pick of give me Jeremy Bernard, Chris Bell, Ted Hurst, Brazel, Zachariah Branch, Malachi Fields, Skylar Bell, Jacoby Lane, Reggie Virgil, Kevin Coleman, Jeff Caldwell. I like those. Josh Cameron, Kendrick Law. I like this. I'm a big fan of Dylan Bell after the draft. Ty Montgomery from John Carroll, I think, is going to be a seventh round pick. I just think that, the receivers early, I love the top two guys, but I think that next group is kind of like, it makes me nervous. Tyson, Cooper, Concepcion, and Boston make me nervous, as opposed to Bernard, Bell, Brazel, Hurst, Branch, Fields. I kind of like that next group, partially because the investment's less, but also because I just think that those receivers are going to make it. What about edge? Who's your guy on the edge? Do you have an edge guy? Because here's the thing. I almost feel like we need to change our whole what we're looking for, because the Niners have looked for these 270-pound edges, and Raheem Morris has gone for these 245-pound edges, and now Raheem Morris is the coordinator. So I kind of feel like we need to amend what we're looking for from, the guy who's 270, like Keldrick Falk, to, the speed group. A Cassius Howell or Mello Heights, Keyron Crawford, Jayshon Barham, like some of those guys that are more like 240, I think are probably going to be the call this year.
Yeah, you talk about Keldrick Faulk, and that's the one pick where if he does slide, which I don't think he will, I'm going to bet pretty big he goes early. NFL covets those types of guys. But yeah, if he falls to 27, are the 49ers going to be able to help themselves? Because he's Mikal Williams 2.0.
At 27, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, at 27. Like, if he falls, are the 49ers going to be able to not select him? Or are they going to, like, go back to the well and just say, man, we can't believe he's there. We're not going to get a chance to get out of these guys. What's better than one Mikal Williams, two? Yeah, like, we're just going to roll these guys out there. I don't know if they'll be able to help themselves. He's a damn good player, youngest player in the draft. Amazing. Gave his NIL money up for a walk-on player. Like, dude is – I love Keldrick Faulk. But the more pressing need is speed edge rusher. Bryce Huff is retired. I don't think they were going to bring him back anyway. That tape got really, really bad really, really quick last year. Yeah, Cassius Howell, Malachi Lawrence, R. Mason Thomas. There are so many of these elite speed burst edge benders in the set, you know, late first, second round. If you want to wait till the fourth, is Keyron Coffer going to be there? Ethan Burke, Trey Moore. Like, there's a lot of those, and the Niners need that complimentary piece. But Cassius Howell's, you know, I call him Rush Crush every year. I love this kid. Is he a perfect prospect? No. If he was, he'd be top 10. The only reason why he's in the Niners conversation at 27 is because the arm length is so small. Now, you talked about how if they don't have speed at the wide receiver position, you're kind of done with them. Do you feel the same way about the length at the edge position? Is that the same thing for you, Larry? Or are you kind of like, you don't have to have it to be as successful? Are you Trent Baalke, or are you up to this new new age speed, get around the edge?
You know what, Johnny? It's funny. It's so weird. I used to be a big believer in the edge length, right? But now watching, like, specifically Raheem Morris's Falcons last year, look at Jaylon Walker. What is Jaylon Walker? He's a stacked backer. He doesn't even really engage. He just dips and gets to the quarterback. He's impact speed. He's not even making lots of contact with the offensive lineman. He's, like, running around the lineman. So I kind of feel like the speed, like, I'm like in a draft. I'm going to show you a draft that I did that I really like. I did a draft the other day that I'm like, okay, this is a good draft. And here it is. I'm going to share the screen and show it to you. And then what I did was I'm starting to think more like the Niners, like more like Raheem, like not the Niners that I think of, but the new Niners,
not Robert Saleh.
Not Robert Saleh's Niners. And where I went, now I traded back, as you can see, from 27 to 35. I took D'Angelo Pons. Because why did I take Pons? Because I'm looking at this division. Look at what happened in this division. The Seahawks won the Super Bowl. They have the best receiver in football suddenly, and he's a baby. He's in the division. So much so that Les Snead, who's a great personnel guy, said, we're going to trade significant capital to get Trent McDuffie because we need to match up with JSN. And I think the Niners need to be that serious about matching up with JSN too. So I want another corner in a division that has Puka, JSN. They're talking about drafting Mekhi Lemon in LA. They already have Davante Adams and Puka there. Seahawks, who knows what the Seahawks are going to do. You got to have coverage. You got to be able to cover. And the key to pass coverage is pass coverage. In other words, there is no key to pass coverage. You've got to have dudes. And D'Angelo Pons is a dude. But beyond that, so I went Pons early. Banks is, to me, the biggest boomer bust guy there is. Yeah. I see Chris Jones. I know he's got foot problems. But if the foot problems are bad, I don't want him. But if the foot problems aren't bad, I want him. And I think he might be one of the most dominant players. He reminds me of the Georgia guy who went to the Eagles. They both wore 88 at Georgia. Banks wore 88 at Florida. Jalen Carter. He reminds me of Jalen Carter. He's just a beast. Longest arms. But forget those two picks. 68, 127, 133. I took Jalen Kilgore, Harold Perkins, and Jayshon Barham. Kilgore is not a corner. He's not a safety. He's not a linebacker. He's all three. He literally is Nick Emanwori. He doesn't have the ability to play safety.
Played that same role at the same school.
Right. And he's like a nickel corner. but I think he could be like a strong side linebacker in a sub package. He could be, I just think he's great. And he's an awesome athlete, 4.4 flat, hits like a truck, runs like the wind, can play all these different positions. But he is a hybrid player, total hybrid. Harold Perkins is probably the biggest hybrid player in the whole draft. He's 230 pounds. He looks like a safety, but if you watch him, he's not a stack backer. He has no stack backer instincts. He's not a safety. He's an edge rusher. He is this year's smaller, faster version of Jaylon Walker. So I got another edge rusher there. I list him as a linebacker. They list him as a linebacker, but he's really an edge rusher in Raheem Morris. And then Jayshon Barham. Jayshon Barham is exactly the same dimensions as Jaylon Walker from last year. And I think Barham has, you know, found his calling as an edge rusher. He was a good stack backer for Maryland, but he's a great edge rusher. And I like
they moved him in the middle of the year. I broke down one film and I was like, dude, this dude's playing off ball linebacker. It was like week two or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get to like week four and it's like, dude, this dude's only on the edge. And I had to go back and it's like, oh, all right. They figured out what they had with Barham.
So I took three, what I would call hybrid players there that are all Kilgore's listed as a safety, probably as a linebacker. Perkins is listed as a linebacker, is probably a defensive end. Barham is listed as an edge. He probably is an edge. But those three, super athletic, super fast, super dynamic, what I would call sub-package badasses, I have them 68, 127, and 133. And I think there's a very good chance that that Raheem Morris, if he saw my mock, says, you know what, that guy knows what I'm thinking. Because I just really believe he wants these sub-package guys, and he wants these he doesn't want Mikel Williams off the edge. He wants somebody fast off the edge, like a Barham, like a Perkins, somebody who's going to, you know, if you added Barham and Perkins off the edge and Kilgore at linebacker, you've added so much speed and athleticism to your defense. It's not even funny. It's not even the same defense.
Yeah. And, you know, one more I want to throw out just as we're thinking like Raheem, yeah. Leonard Floyd, like there, Leonard Floyd 2.0 is Joshua Joseph's out of Tennessee. Like that longer kind of, you know, 6'4", long armed, you know, built like a giant tight end. Like that's there as well. Cause Leonard Floyd left us, went to the Falcons, had a lot of success. Joshua Joseph's is him, and he's going to probably go third round, fourth round maybe, but I doubt it. Might even bump up to second round. So whenever you're going through these athletic profiles, and Larry, you're really good at this, like you, and whenever we say these comps, like reminds me of, doesn't mean they're going to have that type of career, but it's that style fit. NFL teams do this as well, where it's like, okay, what is this role that we are looking for? We want somebody like this. And Kyle Shanahan, whenever he does his install, he goes back to old tape and he'll show tape. And a lot of the wide receiver tape he shows is like Pierre Garçon or whatever else. You know what I mean? And
right.
Like, this is what I wanted. This
retro
position.
Film.
Yeah. And so these guys, these names where it's like, oh, this fits. That's where it is. And so that's where, oh, I see Lieutenant Simple Jack in the chat. Good old Rob Louder making an appearance, Larry. The there Striking Gold podcast. I see you in there, big dog.
I read Rob Louder a lot. Where is he? Is he in there?
He's Lieutenant Simple Jack is his YouTube, whatever. he's a Tropic Thunder guy.
There we go. Hat tip, he said. That's Who's he hat tipping? He's hat tipping you. Is that the Trent? Well, you got the Trent Williams lid going. You have that lid in multiple colors, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, Residency does a great job, man.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right, let's hit some chat. Oh, actually, before we hit the chat, I gotta do my sponsored hit right here.
Let's do it.
I have it on the board. And all right, let's jump into our Prize Picks lineup for today. Prize Picks is America's number one sports picks app, and the reason I like it, it's simple. You're just picking more or less on player stats or game outcomes, building your lineup, and you're in. No complicated stuff. Just what you think is going to happen in the game. You just use code HMA, play $5, and get $50 in lineups instantly. Links in the description. All right. Let's get into it. We will move Johnny and I to the corner of the screen. We'll move that move Rob Loader's tweet off to the side. Sorry, Rob. We'll share the screen on a little Prize Picks, and we're going to go with some futures.
Ooh.
I'm going to take that was just a tester. Any of these guys jump out? We just got to do two or three guys here. Who do you like?
So this is more or less, and
more or less. I'll prompt you. How about Jared Goff? More or less than 3,974.5 season-long pass yards.
I'm going to go more because I don't think they're going to be able to run the same way because of the offensive lineman they lost, David Montgomery they lost. I think that's going to turn into a passing offense personally.
I like that. Joe Burrow, 3,874.5 season pass yards, more or less. We almost have to go less because he's always hurt.
That's what I was thinking too, man.
Yeah. One more here. Is there one that you like? Josh Allen, Drake, Derrick Henry, Bijan, Stafford.
Stafford. I like Stafford more.
Stafford more than 3,874.5.
That's a low number for him.
You know, I did see them on the path to the draft last night talking about the Rams doing a trade up for Jeremiah Love. And
that would
be interesting because, wow. I mean,
they still throw the ball to him nonstop. I mean, that's the thing about Jeremiah Love is his receiving prowess is just freaking off the charts. He might be the second best receiving back in the NFL day one.
We will submit and let's see what it shoots out. There we go. We bet $10. We're looking at our lineup. I'll view my lineup right here. So Goff has to throw for 3,975 pass yards. Burrow's got to throw for less than 3,874 pass yards, and Stafford's got to throw for 3,875 pass yards. If all those things happen, our $10 turns into $60. Thank you, Prize Picks. Check out Prize Picks. The link's in the description. We love Prize Picks. They do an amazing job. And you know what? I put us there, and then I never actually came over here. Hold on a second.
I love
Hold
this.
On. You know, you can do this right, or you can do this like I do this and do it wrong. There we
love
go.
You, Larry. Oh, look at that.
Look at that. And then
so fancy.
And then here we go. Okay. Now it's all on the board. Put it on the board. Yes. All right. So thank you, Prize Picks. Play $5, get 50 instantly. Thanks to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show, and we appreciate them greatly. Prize Picks does a really nice job. Very, very good. And they switch out their stuff quick. So like if somebody's out of the lineup, boom, it's like within seconds they have it on the site. It's really, really cool. By the way, thank you to Alamar Marina, alamarmarina.net. Float while you dine on the Sacramento River. Great sponsor of the Krug Show. We appreciate them. Also, thank you to Novato Chevrolet. The only place I will buy a Chevrolet is Novato Chevrolet. And also thank you, Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. Anthony Catania's at 831-521-5264. Thanks to them. And last but certainly not least, thanks you to Habas Law. Habas Law does an amazing job as a Krug Show sponsor. And give them a call. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. You know, when you need a great attorney, you need an attorney who's great. And that's Habas Law. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Thank you, Habas Law. All right, let's hit some of these comments from the chatters. And we've got a couple supers, and then we'll hit a couple chats here. Tommy Huxley, the best duo on YouTube is back. Oh, you're talking about us? Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate you, bro. Love streaming with Johnny. Johnny and I probably streamed with you, John, maybe almost at the outset of my channel. Like, we streamed together.
Yeah.
You might be one of the very first stream people that I ever streamed. What's past tense?
Streamed. Yeah. Streamer it. Yeah, man. Honored. I love doing these shows. They're always fun. And whenever I meet people, they're like, dude, it's fun when you do a show with Larry. Like, they love that. So,
dude, and we're excited to promote your guys' travel. And when I went to New Orleans and got a chance to travel with the Niner faithful and see how all the great people that really travel with this team religiously, I thought to myself, man, Johnny's doing it right. You really tapped into something. So way to go, man.
Best fan base in sports. Not close.
Yeah. I mean, I know. And those kinds of plaudits, I know people be like, dude, you know, what do you mean? It's actually true.
Dude, take over a Steelers stadium. Who does that? Who does that?
One in Heinz Field. I mean, who does that? Rez Thug says, if Mezidor is gone at 27, I don't think there is any edge worth taking in the first. So maybe it might be a wide receiver. What do you think, John? Mezidor would be a great fit because of the
plug and play right off the bat. Some health concerns in his past. He's old, but man, talk about it. If you want somebody that can play right now, right now. No question about it. Mesidor is really high on that list. I do think the second round edge market is intense. Awesome. I would probably say the same thing about wide receiver. You got to go something in the first round, and whatever you, I do think edge and wide receiver will be the first two picks, whichever way those go. I bet pretty heavily on that, but we'll see how it goes. And a lot of it goes back to that cap money. The Niners see that as a positional advantage because it just saves so much cap money. So,
you know, it's funny. You're saying wide receiver or edge because of the money. I'm probably going to go safety and guard.
Yeah, those that's the need.
That's, you know, and I, well, that's the Niners.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of draft more for need. I mean, I'm trying not to think what I would do. I would trade back and take their D'Angelo Pons and start there. Here is SF Data. Niners put the what's most likely. The fans voted 49.3% say O tackle, 20% say edge, 17% say wide receiver. Safety's at 2.7%, right next to interior offensive line. If I'm right, man, I'm really going way off the, I'm way away from the crowd over here. Everybody's thinking it's going to be offensive tackle, but you know, how do you, here's one thing I want to share before we get out of here. This is a really good comment. And let me see if I can put it on the screen here. It's from Rand Carthon, and Rand basically was like, hey, I don't think here it is. I don't think they're going offensive tackle, and here's why. And here's what Rand had to say about it. To me, this is interesting. Listen to what Rand said. It's a minute long, and we'll come back and react to it. Here's Rand Carthon on a podcast. Former Niner exec, by the way. And it'd be better. It's a better soundbite if you turn the volume up. You know, when you turn the volume down, I mean, it's profound, but it's better with the volume.
All right, Rand, you're John Lynch and your former team, the 49ers here. What are you doing?
I know the popular thing, especially with Caleb Lomu sitting there, is that take Caleb Lomu. And my thing is if you take someone at 27, particularly an offensive lineman, if you're the 49ers, where are you going to play him in year one? Trent Williams will be the left tackle. Colton McKivitz has been solid for them at the right tackle spot. And if you look at it traditionally in this offense, they've only spent one first-round pick on an offensive lineman, and that was Mike McGlinchey, who's no longer on the team. So they have a unique way of being able to find guys. I know some of these edge rushers will fit as well, but I'm going to go somewhere different because I'm looking at the makeup of the team, and I'm thinking about Kyle Shanahan and what is required to play in his offensive system. And I'm going to go with tight end Kenyon Sadiq.
Ooh.
Because I think he could play that dual role of being another Juszczyk type. And then you also got to remember that Kittle is out right now with the torn Achilles. And for him, I think just the fit for what they're going to ask the tight end to do, I think just fits what the 49ers would do right now.
It's a great answer.
It is.
The question is, does Kenyon Sadiq have a prayer of falling to 27? And I would say no. What do you think, John?
Not today's NFL. If every team was like the 49ers offense, then no. But with everybody, Brock Bowers, and using these smaller, shifty, almost using them as a wide receiver, you know what I mean? The 49ers do not do that. And so other teams, I think, will value him more. I like Kenyon Sadiq, but I do not put him anywhere near Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland. I have a second round grade on Kenyon Sadiq. He's worth the 27 pick. He's worth the 20 pick in this draft. But for me in the Shanahan offense, I would say the value is just not there money wise, or we've never seen Shanahan use a guy like that.
I'd rather see him go Oscar Delp in the second or third round, or, you know,
not even close, man. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. I'm not a Sadiq guy myself. Aldo Martinez is the SEC still the best conference? Feels like the Big Ten is
top to bottom SEC. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's SEC. And it's really where you really notice is it on the line of scrimmage. I was talking to Todd Husak, and we were watching Stanford one day, and he was like, dude, there's not one guy on Stanford that could start on the offensive or defensive line in the SEC. Not one. And he's totally right. Riker Trav, F you, Larry. Great show, guys. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate you. We got a couple more here, non-supers, but questions. What do you think, Johnny, in this one? More likely to trade up to 27, the Titans or Arizona?
Titans. Robert Saleh's aggressive. I'm not into the Arizona Ty Simpson thing. I think the Jets,
they like him?
The Cardinals, and the Dolphins are full tank. And so, like, I want them
even
to
with the Brissett demand of even pay me, or I'm going to be 3-14 instead of 3-12.
Yeah, I don't. They're full tank mode, man. I don't understand drafting Ty Simpson. Now, maybe last year the NFL's a copycat league, and so you look at the Saints. They kind of did this with Tyler Shug, and they got their guy.
Right.
And so maybe they're like, hey, maybe we just sneak one in here, and it's worth it. We'll see what happens. But if that's the case, you wait and you don't trade back up into the first round. I hope somebody does. I would bet the Titans over the Cardinals, but I think the Cardinals, Jets, and Dolphins are full tank mode. I think that the quarterback either goes to the Steelers or to another team just looking for, you know, a dart throw.
Trade-wise, do you think there's going to be trades? Dee Winters, yeah. Do you think Trent Williams gets traded? Do you think Trent Williams is here?
No. Player trades, not too much. I would hope you could move Ayuk for like a sixth. That would be ideal. I'd take a seventh. I'd take a bologna sandwich. But like anything would be awesome. But man, the player trades are just so weird. But if you did trade something, linebacker, that room is crowded. You have seven linebackers right now. And like it's packed room, man.
I know it really is. Muhammad says 49ers should move Colt McKivitz to left tackle, draft the best right tackle in the draft, trade Trent or trade Trent Williams to the Browns for Myles Garrett.
They would take Trent and two first-round picks plus for Myles Garrett.
Yeah,
still,
I mean,
I don't think they would.
Yeah, I don't think that seems like it's too ambitious. What do you think of the first part of this, though, of moving McKivitz to left tackle and drafting an Ian Archer or somebody who you think's a right tackle who you think can step in? And I mean, if you did that, let's just say, I don't know that Colton could do it. If Colton could do it, you could draft the kid from Clemson who's had 54 starts.
Blake Miller.
Yeah, and now you've got an experienced rookie at right tackle and, you know, McKivitz at left. I don't know. I don't know if McKivitz can play left. I mean, left and right has lost some designation over time because the premier edge rushers move around now. So that's part of it. But it's not quite as pronounced as the right tackle was a run blocker and the left tackle is a pat. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah. Colton McKivitz only played left tackle at Morgantown, West Virginia. And if you remember, they drafted McKivitz the year Joe Staley retired. And they said after the Trent Williams trade that their plan was to use the third round pick on Colton McKivitz and just plug him in for Joe's spot right off the bat, rookie minicamp. That didn't happen. They traded the third rounder plus the future pick for, to get Trent Williams, and then they were able to get Colton McKivitz in the fifth round. So, like, they valued him at a left tackle spot when they drafted him, was that 2020? So, this saying, I remember John Lynch saying, we were fine with Colton coming in and competing for the left tackle spot right off the bat. So, I don't think that they have a problem with that. I like Blake Fisher. I think he's as close to a gold helmet guy as you're going to get in this draft. Character, leadership, experience, no injuries, plays tough, plays mean. The ceiling's not there, but plug and play, sure. Trent Williams is what you want to be, but there's some options there if for some reason that doesn't get worked out. But this isn't the first, second, or third time Trent Williams has drug a contract extension out to the last hour. I think they're okay with where they're at.
Johnny, let's finish with this one. PJ says, Krug, who's your draft crush? Do you have a draft crush? And it's funny, the term, I thought Matt Barrows kind of popularized the term because he chose one player every year as his draft crush. This year he took Omar Cooper Jr. As somebody that you really like. I mean, I've got lots of draft crushes. I love D'Angelo Pons, but as far as primary draft crush, do you have one? Who's your primary draft crush?
My number one is Malik Muhammad, cornerback, University of Texas.
You know what? I read your tweet on that this week.
I love
this. Tell me why
kid.
You like him.
Just, he's young, elite ceiling. He has the perfect build, 6'1", 182 as a corner. He's that alpha guy that wants to guard the number one all the time. Comes up and run support, elite speed, just does a little bit of everything well. And in the biggest moments, he shows up big time. And so, yeah, I'm a Longhorn fan. I'm biased, obviously, but this is somebody I've watched all the way back since high school. And he's a South Oak Cliff kid. I love his demeanor, his attitude, his leadership. It just, I can't find a box that he doesn't check. My comp for him is Marcus Peters without any of the off the field stuff coming out of the draft.
I'm a linebacker guy. I like linebackers. I think linebackers impact the game. And if you have dominant linebacker, to me, if you look at all the great Super Bowl teams, they almost always have great linebacker play. Look at Seattle this year. I mean, Drake Thomas, Nick Emanwori. I mean, these guys played their asses off. That second level was, they owned that second level. And so I like linebackers. I mean, I think of when the Niners were great, I think of their incredible linebackers. And I got a pretty good feel for it, I feel like, because I watch a lot of linebackers. So I like C.J. Allen from Georgia. I really do. I like him. I love the kid from Texas Tech as well, Rodriguez. But I love two. Anybody can love those guys because they're first round guys or high, you know, highly rated guys. They played in major conferences. Everybody can see those guys. But I'm going to give you two linebackers that you know nothing about, that you've never seen before, that you need to go watch, that are both incredible. One is Eric Hunter from Morgan State, and I saw him in the HBCU All-Star game, and he's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Long arms, huge hands. The guy can run for days, makes tons and tons and tons of tackles. You know, he's just an incredible player. I'm not sure why, you know, he wound up at Morgan State and why he didn't get to a bigger school, but really, really love that player. I also love Micah Thurman, a West Georgia linebacker who runs in the 4.5s.
WGU, and, baby.
Yeah. And here's my day three sleeper offensive lineman. And I just love this guy. I love Fabechi Wiwu as a center. But if it was up to me, I wouldn't draft an offensive lineman on day one or day two. But I would use two of those fourth-round picks on offensive linemen. Fabechi Wiwu and this guy right here. I'm a gigantic fan of this gigantic guard from Auburn. His name's Jeremiah Wright. You can just see in the film, he's a little slow-footed, and he's broad as hell. Like, that is one of the widest guys you're going to see. This is going up against Caleb Banks here. And he's stonewalling Banks for the most part, who really partied, and that's McClellan. And he's just right, basically stonewalling these guys. And I'm not sure who that is for Bama. Is that Overton? I'm not sure. But Jeremiah Wright may not have the movement ability to play in the Niners scheme, but this is a road grader. I mean, when my kids were little, I used to read them all those books about trucks. And the road grader is the wide truck that scrapes the ground. This is a road grader offensive lineman, if I've ever seen one. Jeremiah Wright. He's massive. He needs to get better footwork. He needs to work on – he's a right guard probably exclusively. But Auburn's had a lot of success. To me, this guy's movement ability, he's gone up against some really good players in the SEC. He's done a really nice job. I love him. I love him. I think he needs some development. He's going to be there in the fifth round probably, maybe even the sixth round. He might even go undrafted. But I love Jeremiah Wright and just how wide he is, how strong he is at the point, how difficult he is.
He's a forklifter, man. He loves getting his hands under and lifting whenever I was watching him. Like that's his go-to.
No doubt. No doubt.
That forklift, man.
That's going to do it for us. Johnny, what do you got cooking the rest of your Saturday? Tell people once again, if they want to travel with you to Down Under to see the Niners and the Rams week one, tell them how they can do it.
Yeah, we do almost every single game the 49ers travel to. 49ers Rush Road Trip. And when that schedule comes out later this month, next month, we'll have that up. So we throw a rally the day before. We throw an all-inclusive tailgate. As free to every event we'll ever host. But 49ersrushroadtrip.com. And we've got travel packages up to Australia now. So go check it out.
I'm going to stream one more time coming up here shortly, but have a great rest of your Saturday. I'm going to watch some baseball, maybe even barbecue some steaks later on today. Man.
You're like the definition of an all-American guy, Larry. I freaking love it, dude. It's like a bingo card of America, and you just freaking get the blackout every time. I love it, dude.
I got the wife. I got the four. I got the four kids. I've got the gut. You know, I've got a couple empty keg tins in the garage.
My guy.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, Nothing speaks Americana like this fat guy. Oh, by the way, there was a guy. Who was it? Oh, my God. I did a stream the other day with Damon. And there is a player. Oh, I forget which player it is. I'll remember it by next week. His nickname is Fat Man. I mean, come on, man. Who doesn't want to draft a guy whose nickname's Fat Man? I mean, that is just awesome. And then you get him on your show. Hey, welcome. Can we call you Bob or can we call you Fat Man? No, call me Fat Man. Call me Fat Man. Have a good one, Johnny. Have a great one to all you guys. Thanks for supporting our channels, my channel, Johnny's channel. Hit like and subscribe on your way out the door. Peace.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly.